Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, guys, we're back from commercial break, and here he is, man, the All-American himself, Kirk Barton. Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate that.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, let's chime right in, man, because you know these guys better than Chris and I do. You were recruited by, played for, sweater vest himself, Jim Tressel. You coach with Urban Meyer. What are you going to do? I know they're very different people. They're very both very successful. But you are the AD of Ohio State tomorrow, and you had to choose between one of those two.
But you said both in their prime?
Yeah, both in their prime.
I'd probably go Urban just because of NIL, and Urban has a way of not taking no for an answer. And you got to understand, Jim Tressel's like my dad. I actually texted him when you said you'd have dinner with him and Jesus Christ. I think that was pretty funny because I texted that to Tress just now because I was asking if he is still up here because he just retired at Youngstown, so I'm not sure if he's down to Siesta Key yet or not with Ellen, because Ellen's a big golfer, so that she stays down there a lot more than he does. But I think he's down there for good now. I think he's out of Youngstown. But Urban, two different guys. Obviously, you know, I think you guys are on point when you talk about Tressel resurrecting the program. It was in a dark place in, you know, 99-2000. And the funny thing is in 01, there wasn't much of a change. It's 7-5. Then obviously that 02 team, you know, caught the hearts and minds of Ohio people forever because we hadn't won a title in anything in a long time. So to beat the Hurricanes and, you know, it's always been kind of like the state school that everybody reps everywhere they go. People go on vacation, they wear their Ohio State stuff. So they could puff their chest out a little bit after we beat the Miami Hurricanes. And, you know, Chess is just, he's one of the finest gentlemen, one of the greatest human beings, one of the greatest coach. I mean, just, you know, everything you could ever want. You know, the only differences between him and Urban is a little more demanding. He's a lot more demanding. He doesn't take no for an answer. He doesn't, you know, so again, in this NIL fundraising world, you know, I think Truss would do it. But, you know, the biggest difference with Urban and Truss is just the national recruiting that Urban really strove for. It was something that has changed dramatically. And I think Coach Truss would have adapted to it. But we can't just take 20 kids from Ohio like we used to. Like, we didn't, you know, that 02 class, we got, you know, Mike D'Angelo, Troy Smith, Maurice Claret, Rob Sims, Nick Mangold, AJ Hawk, Bobby, I mean, first rounders, Heisman Trophy winners, really every position, maybe the best running back to ever play here for that 1 year. You know, I mean, and they're all from Ohio. And now the talent just isn't here like it used to be. So you have to go into Georgia, you have to go into Florida, you have to go into Texas. And I think that Urban, you know, really was ahead of his time in terms of the aggression on the recruiting trail. And I'm not sure, and I love Coach Tressel, but, you know, some of these committable, non-committable offers, some of the stuff that these guys do now, I don't know if that's his style or his speed, but it's kind of a slimy game now in recruiting, but that's just kind of the way it is. And with NIL, it's never been worse. So
let's talk about recruiting real quick, because over at Buckeye Scoop, you guys follow this a lot religiously. You guys put out a lot of good content with that. The 2024 recruiting class in the state of Ohio is pretty doggone good. I think it might be one of the best ones we've had in well over a decade, and it doesn't look like we're off to a good start. Can you calm me down a little bit? You would know more than me.
Well, I think that it's kind of done. We'll get the three linemen. We'll get the Armstrong twins. We'll get Mark Knave out of Toledo Central Catholic. I think, you know, you got to recruit the two corners that are outstanding, but you're going to end up getting Aaron Scott and Bryce West out of Glenville. you know, the rest of it, I don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, I was in Naples 2 weeks ago, or it was actually last weekend. Saw J.J. Smith, talked to him for a long time, talked to his dad for a long time. So any recruiting class that starts with J.J. Smith makes me extremely excited, because he is not only a really freak, freak of nature type talent, but he's such a great kid. He's so humble. He's so focused. He's a grinder. I interviewed him and I said, you know, what can Ohio State, like the Ohio State supporters, because I don't like to use the word fans, I like to use the word supporters, because you guys, the people that support the program, what can they expect out of you? And he's like, you know, I'm going to be quiet. All I'm going to do is work. I want to go hard in the classroom, go hard on the field, and just let my ability and play speak for itself, which, I mean, for a receiver, that's about as, you know, good of an answer as you can get. And JoJo Trader was on that 7-on-7 team, the South Florida Express. And I think JoJo, if he played safety, he might be, you know, Ed Reed. I mean, he was unbelievable in a 7-on-7 tournament. He had about 5 picks in 4 games. And 7-on-7 is a short field, so you're not getting 65-yard moon balls to run under. Like, he's, like, breaking and plucking the ball. And he's a kid that we're going to be in a fist fight for because of NIL. But I think we have a good shot at landing JoJo as well.
Let's talk about NIL. I mean, obviously, that didn't exist when you were playing. I'm sure you would have liked that. every former player I've ever talked to, they all said, I wish that would have been there. It's changed the game quite a bit. And as fans, we panic a lot. I mean, or as supporters, as you say, we panic.
Yeah.
Are we in a good place? Are we going to be in a better place? I've heard a lot of that. Hey, we're getting there. We might be a step behind some of the bigger programs. Are we good?
I think we're in a great place, honestly. Okay. And I know that's going to shock people and people are going to fall off their chairs. But, you know, it's the early movers didn't get great returns on paying kids up front. You know, you got a lot of charlatans out there that are kind of, you know, promising a lot. They don't deliver it. I think that the kids getting a little extra money doesn't hurt. Personally, I don't like it because I liked when we were all just poor and we all kind of had the same things. Like, that's kind of the nice thing about college is you got to go dig through your couch and get quarters to go get a large pizza from Adriatico's or whatever, which I did. You know, because now, you know, guys are driving G-Wagons and Porsches and stuff. And it's like, I just kind of miss the olden days when everybody kind of had crappy cars. And, yeah, you know, some guys had a little bit nicer stuff than others, but it was all pretty equal. You know, now it's like, you know, there's guys, you know, like C.J. Stroud went to the Super Bowl and sat in a luxury suite last year for the Rams game. And again, that's fine because he's C.J. Stroud. But I worry about the mental state of some of these kids that maybe don't get a deal or they think they should get a deal, or a guy that's, you know, at a less glamorous position, namely offensive line, where they don't get, right. You could be a first-team All-American, you know, and Paris Johnson actually did really well. But, you know, DeJuan got a couple little tiny deals, but, you know, he's potentially be a first round pick, and obviously that'll cash in when it happens. But, you know, there's guys that are freshmen that don't play at all that have new cars, and there's guys that are freshmen that have NIL deals. So it's, I don't know, like, there's no closing Pandora's box at this point. I think that, you know, our strategy of, you know, we pay these kids when we get here, because Carnell Tate got a nice deal, Jelani Thurman got a nice deal. You take care of the guys here. The good thing about Columbus is there's a lot of companies that love Ohio State, and, you know, Ohio State can be tough to deal with as a university sometimes in terms of fundraising, and, you know, it's really expensive to get a sponsorship with the university. So the next best thing you can do is get a sponsorship with the players, because that'll cost you 10% of what it would cost to deal directly with Ohio State. And, you know, I think that that's the strategy that a lot of companies are starting to get onto. And but I think we're fine with NIL. I know people think that it's, oh my God, Texas A&M is going to buy everybody and Miami is going to buy everybody. And Florida, I mean, it's cost us maybe Mark Fletcher. It cost us because he went to the U and he got a pretty good NIL deal, but that's going to happen. You know, and if a kid wants to go to Miami, which has been an absolute train wreck of a institution really since we beat them, I mean, good luck. You know, I mean, I'm glad that he got the upfront because Mark's a great kid and I'm glad that he got the upfront money, but man, I mean, you don't know who your coach is going to be in 2-3 years. I mean, they've got revolving doors as their head coach, and I know they gave Mario Cristobal a huge deal, but, you know, it's just, I mean, the stability of Ohio State is something that's really attractive. Like, Brian Hartline being the OC now, he's making $1.7 million, so he's not really itching to go somewhere unless he gets a humongous job offer. Ryan Day seems comfortable. He's young. It makes great money, big extension. So you seem there seems like some stability at the top. And I think a lot of these kids, you know, they want to be developed and they want stability. And you know, our NIL is our NFL draft, you know, capital that we can show off when we show Garrett and Chris Olave and Paris Johnson and CJ Stroud. Basically, players from every position on the team are first round picks. You know, we've had corners go first, linebackers, defensive ends. So that is a lot more attractive than NIL, in my opinion.
Paul Buckeye says, side with me, Kirk. He did. So there you go. He chose Urban there. So there you
Appreciate you, Paul.
All right. So let's talk about you a little bit. You're a high school kid in Northeast Ohio.
Yep.
Jim Tressel comes knocking on your door. Tell me your recruiting story, man. How'd you end up being a Buckeye?
Man, it was, you know, I don't have a lot of patience for kids that are, they feel slighted because they didn't get offered by their junior. I was offered in December of my senior year. So I was one of the last guys in the class. I was a guy that was getting ready to go visit Northwestern. I had an offer from Stanford. I was going to go visit Stanford, Purdue. I didn't really want to go to Stanford, but it's Stanford. And it's a free scholarship. So, I mean, you got to at least go look at it. Ohio State, I'd camped there. I'd done really well at camp. Felt like I earned an offer. I tested really well, jumped really high, you know, did really well in the one-on-one pass rush drills that they love in those camps. And, you know, I had a good senior year. I played tight end, which is different than obviously tackle. But I was fully willing to become a tackle and devote myself to it. And, you know, I just kind of, it kind of kept me warm. And it was funny at the Ohio State Michigan game in 02, when we won to go to the Fiesta Bowl, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't really know who to, I mean, I was rooting for Ohio State, but it's just like, you know, both those schools were kind of slow playing me. So I felt at the time there's a chance I could end up at Michigan, which is weird. I didn't want to go to Michigan, obviously, but you know, if Ohio State doesn't offer you, there's a lot of kids that they in Ohio that sadly have to make that choice. I mean, I probably honestly would have gone to Stanford because I really was kind of catching that itch. But you know, Trust, you know, they finally came along as like early December, and I was supposed to go visit Northwestern that weekend, and my head coach Keith Wayfield, he's like my dad, one of the greatest guys in the world. Him and Trust are kind of like my dad. Went to Tress and said, hey, are you going to offer Bart? Because he's getting ready to commit somewhere in the next couple weeks and get it over with. And Tress, it was funny because Tress said, I told Jim Bowman to offer him months ago. And I was like, you guys were going to offer me months ago? I could have, because I mean, you know, when they offered me, you know, it was a small class. We only had about 18 guys in our class. And I was the only offensive lineman that they took. They'd offered some, but they'd went to other places. And man, when he said that they were offering me a full scholarship, I was like, I literally told my coach, I said, tell him I'm coming. I'm done. Cause I hated recruiting. I hate the pomp and circumstance. Like I don't like to be traveling and doing visits. Like I don't, you know, it's just like, it's so bad how it is now, how these kids want to go see everywhere and do everything and wear every jersey and do photo shoots. But I hated all of that. I just wanted to go to Ohio State. And when they offered me, you know, I went home, talked to my mom. I said, I'm going to Ohio State, called them, committed, and it was over. And it was funny because I kept it silent, but of course, I didn't realize how the media worked back then. And my phone got blown up by, you know, the usuals, Bill Kurelik and all the guys that work for all the publishing things. And it was crazy because it got leaked, but I didn't know that it got leaked. But it was in the paper the next day, and I didn't really tell that many people. I told, like, my mom and sister and family. But, you know, it's like, it's every kid's dream to play at Ohio State. And, you know, but then, like, you know, the second step to that is you want to play well, you know, because it's one thing to get that Ohio State scholarship and go there and great, you get to wear the jersey, but you don't want to be the guy that goes there and you never play and you're the guy that didn't deserve the offer or he wasn't good enough for Ohio State. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with an Ohio State offer and going there because you don't want to be that guy. Like, you don't want to be the guy that, you know, he didn't deserve it or he should have went to Kent State or nothing against Kent State or anything, but, you know, that's a double-edged sword because, as you guys know, Ohio State is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you know, you lose one game there, man, and people are ready to burn your house down and, you know, right. Put you in the ground. And, I mean, we saw that with Michigan this year. It's like we lose that one game, man, and they're ready to fire Ryan and they're ready to kill the kids. And I mean, I actually don't mind that because, you know, if you do win it all, then you're, like, basically, you know, a god for the rest of your life. You're revered. But if you lose one, man, it is not for the faint of heart. But again, I like that. Like, I actually like the passion. I love the people that support Ohio State football, and because, you know, they really care. And there's not many sports left where people really care, right, if a team wins or loses, and every win is like life and death. Because college basketball is not like that. The NFL is not like that. college football is kind of it. So, you know, it's fun, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Chris, go ahead with your question, buddy.
All right, so going back to your playing days at Ohio State, I got to ask, the game of the century.
Yeah.
What was it like to be on the field for that game? I mean, you guys come out, you're battling an inspired Michigan team. You know, you come out on top, and that takes you to the national title. Just kind of talk about that game, if you could, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game that, you know, you look at our schedule, and it was like after we beat – I don't know who you beat in the middle of the season. We beat Iowa. We beat somebody that was, like, decent. And then it was just, like, cream puff city for, like, 6-7 weeks. It was nothing but Bowling Green and Indiana and Illinois and Northwestern. And, yeah, so we do, like – and we looked at their schedule, and they were playing, like, Ball State and Antarctica and, you know, the Citadel and whatever. So it's, like – so, like, I mean, we knew that, like, what was coming. Like, it's like you can see the – like the volcano lava coming at you from a mile away, and you know that it's going to get hot, and it's going to be – people are going to be – and you knew it were going to be 1-2 because we were already 1, and they were either 3 or 2. I mean, they were climbing high. They whooped Notre Dame that year. And we knew it was going to be – you know, it was going to be nuts. I mean, we were – you know, we had Troy, thank God, because Troy's the best player in the history of the rivalry. He beat good Michigan teams and put us on his back, but – you know, it was, you know, then Bo dies the day before the game.
Yes.
So, you know, you throw that layer on it. And, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, God, did one of our guys sell their soul and win that one? Is that why we stunk against Florida the next game? Because I was like, we played so great and then we played like crap. And I was like, I didn't know. Because that game, you just didn't want to lose that game because that was the one that like everyone will always remember. Like they don't all remember the 07 game or the 04 game or the 01 game, but you know, when it's like an undefeated 1-2 game, because, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see that one again. We might, but it's hard because with the SEC, they usually have a team in the top two.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, like to win it, it was just like the greatest relief of all time. Like that was the one feeling I had after we beat Michigan my senior year, which is the next year in 07, was I was just like, thank God I never have to play these guys again. Like I never, there's no chance I can lose. There's no chance like I get to go out with a win right off into the sunset. And like that's, because, again, like, it's a lot of pressure, man. And, again, like, when you win them all, it's unbelievable. It's a blast. So it just was – it was so fun to win. You know, the fan base was so excited. You know, and, again, and that was a great Michigan team. Like, you just look at the parts that they had. They had Lamar Woodley, who was fantastic. They had Alan Branch. David Harris was, like, a 10-year NFL guy. Leon Hall, Prescott Burgess, Sean Crable. Chad Henne just retired after the Super Bowl with the Chiefs, so he got a ring. So, I mean – that was like a legit Michigan team. It wasn't like some of these turds that they've turned in the last 15 years since then. I mean, some of these teams they've had have just been awful. And that team had legit NFL guys that played for long times. And, you know, it was a war. And, like, and, you know, and their offense was really good. I kept watching them. And our defense is really good. And I mean, they were just shredding us on the ground. And they were running the ball. And they had Jake Long, who's a guy I played with in Miami, really nice guy. And they were just good. But it was a huge – beating Michigan is always just a massive relief. Like, if there's the best way I can describe it, you obviously have elation and excitement, but relief is like the number one emotion you have, especially when you're a player or a coach. Because, man, it's like, you know, Ryan Day and these guys have found out the last 2 years, you don't want to lose that game, man. And I was lucky because I was, you know, I like the one thing I'm really proud of, you know, is being all American captain, all that, the first guy to start and win 4 Michigan games, the first one. So I started as a freshman, sophomore, junior, and I played well. No sacks allowed, no penalties, graded out high, he was champion every game. So it's like, you know, you always want to like kind of measure yourself. How well did you play in that game? Because, you know, there's guys that stink it up and they're just kind of carried to the victory. And then there's guys that like really play well. And I really prided myself on playing hard against Michigan because I was a child of the 90s. And I grew up with getting, you know, my heart broken every November and watching my heroes, like Eddie George and Orlando and guys that I talked to. And still, yeah, I talk to Orlando all the time now, which is hilarious because he was my idol. But, like, I watched their hearts get stomped on by Michigan. And I think that that's something that might be missing a little bit from this year's or the current guys is that they didn't go through the pain that the kids in the early 2000s went through growing up in the 90s. You know, they didn't go through watching your heroes lose and watching their dreams go up in smoke. So, I don't know. Like, I think that, like, when you go through some pain, and that's something Tress talked about, and Tress is like one of the smartest guys, he's like Yoda, Tress literally said, "2001." He's like, you know, that 02 team, they went through some pain. Now they had a coach get fired. They went 7-5 my first year. Had to get them to buy in, and then they go 14-0. But it's like, you know, a little bit of pain that comes with, you know, like you look at that 14 team that Urban had that won the national championship. They lost their last two games in 13, and they got smacked by Clemson. Lost the Big Ten championship, broke the 26 game winning streak, or whatever it was, and you know, there's. You know, sometimes a little bit of pain isn't bad. And I know that, like, everyone's down. You know, we lost to Michigan, lost to Georgia. But, like, you know, again, and I'm not for losing games. But, you know, you look at just how history works. Like, you know, a lot of these teams, they go through some stuff. And then they get to come back and you know, right the wrongs, so to speak.
So, you know, there is going to be a meme tomorrow somewhere of Yoda in a sweater vest. That's going to be out there somewhere. One follow-up question, though.
Yeah.
Should it have been Ohio State-Michigan rematch? I know 4-1, but should it have been a rematch for the national title?
I think it should have been, but yeah, did I want to play Michigan again? No. You know, I was like, let's go play Florida because I don't want to play Michigan again because we already beat them, and you know, it's hard to beat a team twice, especially when they're going to have all the motivation. You know, but again, the SEC was not the SEC. I mean, people, you know, you got to remember in 04, Auburn went undefeated and they didn't even make the national championship game. So if that happened in the SEC today, if there were three undefeated teams and one was Oklahoma, one was USC, and then the third was an SEC school, they'd literally burn down the United States. Like the South would rise again.
Oh, yeah.
And then the SEC, I mean, because it just wouldn't happen. So that was kind of like the. I mean, Urban Meyer kind of made the SEC. And then, you know, Saban came in kind of behind him at Bama in 07. But, you know, Urban's the guy that got that thing cranked up, and then Saban kind of took the torch from him.
So, and those who are watching, we appreciate everybody who's watching. If you want to ask Kirk a question, we got a few minutes. Throw your question down in the comments section. We'll see if we can't slip those in before the end of the show here. But I got to ask you, this is my first opportunity to interview someone who is an All-American. And mm-hmm. So I got to know, how are you notified that you are selected? And what's it like to get a tree in Buckeye Grove? And are you there when they plant it? And like, what's that like, man?
You know, it's really funny because I was sitting in my locker and Jim Cordell said, you made the coach's All-American team. And I was like, because back in the day, you had to make one of the four main ones. You had to make Walter Camp, AP, coaches, or writers. Because they didn't count the Fox Sports or the ESPN or the SI.com or, you know, Rivals.com. Now it's like they count like 70 different ones now, which is fine. But, you know, back then I was like, if you didn't, you could make an All-American. Like, I made ESPN.com too. And if I only made ESPN, I wouldn't have gotten a tree. But since I made the coaches one, I did. So, you know, obviously it's what everyone's kind of goal is. You know, I mean, I was voted a captain and I was an All-American, and people ask which one I'd rather be. And honestly, I'd say an All-American because it means that you did your job. You know, and like being a captain is great, but it just means you're popular and people voted for you. But being an All-American means that you did your job at a high level. And that's kind of what you strive to do when you're doing your thing out there, man. You got to be the guy everybody looks to, everybody can count on. And it takes a ton of work. It's a lot of pressure. You know, being a captain, again, is a double-edged sword because, you know, if you're not a captain, you can just kind of do your thing, worry about you. When you're a captain, you got to do all that. Plus, then you got to lead guys. You got to galvanize guys. You got to get guys going. Sometimes you have to be, you know, not every one of my former teammates loves me because I wasn't exactly, you know, the kindest, most gentle captain in the world. But sometimes you got to give guys a kick if they're not producing at the level or they're not feeling like practicing or going hard. And again, I'm fine with that because like, again, I was there to win. I wasn't about hurting or helping people feel good about themselves. Cause you know, sometimes you got to say stuff that's not always popular, but it needs to be said. And that's just part of, you know, being a leader. And it's not always fun. Like there's a lot of people that didn't like Kobe Bryant's teammates didn't like him. Michael Jordan's teammates didn't like him. And again, I'm not saying I'm like one of those guys, but it's just kind of what it is when you're a captain. It's not always about just, you know, standing up and going to the coin toss. Like, you got to say some stuff to get guys going sometimes. And I had James Laurinaitis with me, and I had Malcolm. So I had two fantastic captains that were with me that year. And it was really good. But I, you know, the trees, like, it's something you always dream of. I did not have any idea when they were going to plan it. There's no ceremony. I mean, I literally just went back and checked like every 6 months, and then they finally planted it. And I was like, it's finally wow, in the ground. Okay. And a really funny story is that Nick Mangold, he has a tree now. And I was walking through the grove because I had friends in from out of town before one of the games, so I was showing it to him. And I saw Nick Mangold had a tree, and I didn't know if he even knew that he had a tree, because I don't think he ever made All-American. Now, obviously, you know, he's a Hall of Fame level football player, and he should have made All-American. And, you know, sometimes, you know, writers and coaches are just dumb, and they don't understand how good of a player is. But Nick being totally deserves a tree. But I was walking through there, and I took a photo of it. I texted it to him. I was like, did you know you had a tree? And he said, I had no idea I had a tree. So it was like one of the funniest things ever, because he didn't even know he had a Buckeye tree. And I was like, yeah, dude, you're like five down from mine. And this is Nick Mangold, 2005. And I was happy for him, because Nick's a guy that I played with, and he was a great teammate, like one of the best players in Ohio State history, had a great NFL career, and he was a great influence on me when I played. But yeah, that was just like one of those funny things that, you know, I think guys always get excited the first time they get to see their tree, though.
Yeah, that's I had no idea. I mean, that's why I had to know. You would think there'd be like a ceremony, like bring you back and like, hey, we're planting the tree and here's your plaque. But just, you just show up like later and you're like, oh, there it is. It's like,
there it is.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Larry Daniels, let's see what he has to say here. He says, were there very talented guys that you really had to push before they would give 100%? Ooh, that's a good question. Not saying you have to say who they were, but there were some guys, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're some of the most talented guys. The guys you have to push the hardest, just because they're so talented. Because they don't have to go as hard because they're just talented. So you got to kind of be kind of a prick towards them, you know. And again, it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not always fun. But you know, it's all about optimizing performance of the team. So if you got to light a fire, you light a fire. You know. And again, I made no bones about it, no apologies. And if it hurt people's feelings, it's fine, because we. You know, you got to remember, like when I was a captain, we had to rebuild from that Florida game, which was like a nuclear missile hitting the Woody Hayes facility. So, I mean, it's low of morale. We lose Ted, lose Troy, Gonzo, my best friend, like they all leave. So it was a big rebuild. You know, we were picked to be third in the Big Ten, you know, so I mean, it wasn't like we were all, you know, surfing on into preseason number one. Like it was a very, very hot winter and a very hot summer in terms of our strength program and our conditioning and just kind of getting the team out of that shell shock that we were in.
So before I ask you my final question, which is what I ask everybody, tell everybody about Buckeye Scoop, where they can find you, what you guys do.
Yeah, so BuckeyeScoop.com, we're an online Ohio State community. We're one of the largest ones. We're independent, so we're not affiliated with any sites in terms of like any of the recruiting services. But it's really a blast. We have a really high end level of people. We have people from, you know, the Board of Trustees at Ohio State. We have some names that are on our site that I see them in the subscription log, and I'm like, wow, it's kind of cool. They subscribe to the site. But you know, we have Bill Green, who's a long time. About 30 years of recruiting analyst. He really runs South Florida, Georgia, gets a ton of great information on recruiting. Nevada Buck and I, we do a lot of inside stuff for the team. Again, we had a nugget this weekend. I got a really good tip on how well Jelani Thurman is doing along with Carnell Tate through the early workouts. Because, you know, you always wonder when these freshmen show up, who's homesick, who's grinding, who's killing it, and those two guys are like the alphas of the freshman class, which is awesome to hear. But we get all kinds of little inside information. We call it nuggets, which is it's just fun because people love to know what's really going on inside the team. So like that's like what we strive to get, because you know people want to know who's the next coach who's going to get hired, who's the next coordinator who's going to get hired, who's going to be the next great, you know, offensive tackle. Like we, you know, people all of a sudden are obsessed with offensive tackles because we're losing Paris and DeJuan, and everyone's like, are we going to have tackles this year? I'm like, I think we'll be fine. I really do. I think, you know, we'll gin it up. And if it's Zen and Josh Fryer, then that'll be fine. If it's Donovan Jackson at left tackle, that'll be fine. But, you know, I think that, you know, Justin Fry is a good line coach, but we basically talk Ohio State football every day, all day. And we also have a podcast. You can just search for Buckeye Scoop on any podcast format. Also on YouTube. You know, if you guys like the video format, the YouTube's fantastic. We do those every day. Do a lot of live shows. Pretty much every night we're doing a live show. We break down a lot of recruiting film. So it's a blast. Like, I love it. The board is like a living, breathing thing. The message board is. So there's always someone up and talking about something. So it's really cool. Like, I love the community, and it's a fun place to be. So if you guys are huge hardcore Ohio State fans, you can't get enough, man, BuckeyeScoop.com is your spot, because it is a blast to hang out on there.
There you go. Check it out, everybody. It's one of my stops. I go there. Yeah. I ain't going to lie. I actually go there and check it out and get some of what we end up talking right from you, Kirk. So appreciate that. All right. Last question. This is the one I ask everybody. What does it mean to you to be a Buckeye?
Man, it's kind of something that's given me a lot in my life. It's given me really everything. You know, I've met so many great people through the program. You know, Tress, Urban, you know, obviously my teammates. You know, a lot of people that have helped me in business are Ohio State people. I do sell. I'm a fleet consultant. I sell fleet trucks for Ryker right now. So I actually, you know, go around, go to the biggest companies in Columbus, try to help them out with their fleet needs. So we're selling a lot of trucks, a lot of vans. You know, Amazon's coming to town, Intel's coming to town. So Rick Riker's one of my best friends. He gave me an awesome job. It's a blast to do every day. But, you know, it helps, because, like, when you're a Buckeye, it's easy to talk to people. If you get a little bit of inside scuttle, it never hurts, because people like to know, hey, you know, what's going on with the quarterback derby, or are we getting this recruit, or you know, whatever. And I generally, since that's my passion, I usually have a pretty good handle on what's going on inside the program. So it just means a lot. You know, I love Ohio State. I love everything about it. You know, I love playing there. I love beating Michigan, which is fantastic. We got to get back to that. I love my tree. And, you know, it's just the people that are around the program and the people that support the program are just they're so great. They're so fun to get to know. That's one of the joys about doing my podcast and doing live shows, is I have usually a couple hundred people show up and they watch it, and they ask great questions, and I get to interact with them. And it's kind of the same on the Scoop at a much bigger level, because, you know, I'm always on the Scoop. So, I mean, if people need me or they got a question, man, you can sign up and ask away. But I don't know. I love it. I love everything about it. I know it kind of galvanizes the state of Ohio, because, you know, otherwise you're split between the Browns, Bengals, Indians, Reds. But everyone's an Ohio State fan for the most part. So it's fun. You know, you represent the state. It's the kind of the state team that everybody likes to rep when they leave the state, go on vacation, wherever. They like to wear their Ohio State gear everywhere they go. And this is kind of what we do. That's what Ohio people do. And Ohio people stick together. And that's why I love Ohio.
Beautiful answer, my man. I appreciate it. Hey, thank you so much again for joining us here on the OHIO podcast. It's been a lot of fun. Got to finally get that question answered, Chris, about how do they know that they become All-Americans. You would think it would be so much more exciting than what that was, Kirk. Man. Yeah, I'm telling you. But, hey, at least you got a tree. You said you love your tree. That was good.
The tree is great, man. It's something you're always proud of. So
That is awesome. I also like the comment you said about playing Alaska for the team up north on their schedule. I think they might be playing them again this year, unfortunately.
Probably. It's like with the SEC schools do week 11. They play Antarctica or, you know, Chechnya or somewhere. So, you know.
Oh my gosh. So true. All right, guys, it's that time. Thank you so much again, Kirk, for coming on. We appreciate it. As always, guys, please hit the like, share, subscribe. You know all that good stuff. Really does help us grow as we continue to grow our community here at the OHIO podcast. Be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH and sing Carbon High with all your heart. Until next time, OH!
I owe!
Go Bucks!